بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was dispatched to this world, and amongst the other duties that were assigned to him, one duty was to make this world livable, because he's coming into a land that has got no habitation, no way to sustain human life. So he has to create and he has to build up all systems that will facilitate human life. It's like you've been assigned to construct a madrasa, right? So there'll be several things that you will have to do. If they ask you to put up a madrasa, there'll be several things that you'll have to do. You'll have to look for a suitable site. You'll have to get an architect. Then you will tell him exactly what you want and what you propose doing. He'll design it. He'll set the whole place up. Then, after it's built, then you may say that I want a boarding facility, so he'll make a boarding facility. Then you will say, alright, that I'm going to get so many students coming in. So, for those students, then I need some type of facilities, library, books, desk, furnitures, reading, learning help, etc. So all that will be made available. Then, after all that is done, then you'll need the appropriate type of teachers and lecturers to come and lecture those students, right? Then, when all these systems are in place, you've got the furniture, you've got the classrooms, you've got the boarding facility, you've got the required books, you got lecturers, you got learning helps, everything you've got. Now you can announce that, you see, everything that was required for your education I've made available. So in 1 year's time, now you people will be examined. So the first level was to set all the systems up. So Adam alayhi salam's duty was to set all these systems up to make this world livable, manageable, whatever was required to make this world livable. So he had, for example, to teach them how to build homes. Then if you're going to have human dwellings and human habitations, then they will have to have medication, right? Then they will have to have farms and orchards to sustain life, right? Then they'll have to manufacture their own clothing, starting of life from scratch, nothing good. Just imagine that life is starting right from the scratch, so then they'll have to learn how to manufacture clothes. Then children will be born, then how to bring up children from the crèche, from the nursery, and from pregnancy and all that, all the different levels, how to bring them up. So all these systems that were required to sustain human life, all were in place. When they were in place, then Allah Pak says, now, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. So Adam al-Islam's duty was to put up the different structures to facilitate human life. Now, when all those structures were all put in place, now the Anbiya had to come. And therefore Allah Ta'ala speaks about Nuh al-Islam, not about Adam al-Islam. Because Adam al-Islam's time, there wasn't real test and there wasn't real examination. The examination, to commence the examination, then you needed all those different structures. Like I said, in a university, in a madrasa, then you need to put all those structures in place and then only you can start off with the examinations. You hardly gave those students a chance to learn, you didn't give them any material, we didn't offer them any learning help, no guide, no teacher, no lecturer, no professor. And then you say that you're going to be tested and tried out. Then they will say that you are unfair. So you make all these things available and thereafter you start off the examination process. So all these things were in place. Then Allah Ta'ala says, أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. So all the structures were in place. So now from Nuh alayhi salam's time, examination is started off. So there will be those people that will get through the examination. They board the ship and they get through. And those people that fail the examination, and then they will drown, get caught up in the deluge, get caught in the floods, and they will be destroyed. So this was the beginning of man, and this is how human life started off. Then It progressed, it peaked. And it peaked about the time of Rasulullah SAW. Humanity peaked. So the finest and the best creation were at the time of Rasulullah SAW. Therefore, the Sahaba-i-Kiram were the best companions. Rasulullah SAW was the greatest because it was peaking. Mankind had peaked up. Came right to the pinnacle of success. There wasn't a height that mankind could go beyond this. If there was a height that man could peak up, then it was that time that Rasulullah had come into this world. So man had come right to the pinnacle of his glory. Hence, the book that they had got was the greatest book. It will last till the day of Qiyamah. The Nabi they had received was the best. It was the most complete, most comprehensive and most perfect. The Ummat was the last Ummat and the best Ummat. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتِ النَّاسِ. So this is the peak. Then when anything comes to its peak, thereafter then there is the decline. Right? You ascend a mountain, you come right to the peak, and then after that is the decline. So بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ. And myself and Qiyamah are like this. As he says, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. Qiyamah has approached. The very coming and the advent of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam marks the day of Qiyamah. Because there is no Nabi to come after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so it marks the advent of Qiyamah. So then mankind will slowly retrogress, will go back. That's the system of Allah Ta'ala, that anything that goes forward, anything that passes, anything goes forward, anything surpasses, it has to retrogress again. There isn't a thing that you will only go forward and you will not retrogress. So as you will peak, then there will be a decline. So mankind will go back onto the decline. So at that time, that was the most perfect era of human history. The best and the most perfect era was that era. There wasn't an era like that before that or after that. خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي. Therefore the hadith sounded this basharat and this glad tiding that was the best era. If you wanted to see the human being in its most perfect form, then look at them at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find the most perfect example of humanity. You won't find a level of humanity as perfect as the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then again, when you say Khairul Qurun, then it's explained in different ways. This is the normal way that is explained. in all kitabs, like I've explained to you just now, that that was the best period. It was the period of the Sahaba Kiram. There can't be a period as better, as good and as great as the period of the Sahaba Kiram. But there is a different explanation, though the second explanation is a very, very isolated explanation, but it's also an explanation. So sometimes they say, you speak about the zarf and you refer to the mazruf. Or you speak about the mazruf and you refer to the zarf. In our terms, like you say, jaran nahru. In Arabic literature they teach you, jaran nahru. The river is running. Whereas the river is not running, the water in the river is running. But when you speak in a figurative language, then you say, the river is running. Like I say, your nose is running. Your nose is not running, it's the water in your nose that is running, right? Or I say your stomach is running, your stomach is still there in its place, it's the dirt, the filth that's in your stomach that's running. But when you speak in a figurative language, then this is what you say, that the river is running, your nose is running, your eyes are running, or your stomach is running, this is how we say. So you refer to the mazruf, you don't refer to the zarf, right? In other words, what's contained there. So what was contained in that qarn, in that zamana? Qarn refers to a period. What's contained there? Like you say that the river is running, or you said that the stomach is running. So there was something that was in the stomach, and that was the thing that was running. So in this qarn of the Sahaba Kiram, what was there in that qarn? So you say that that's what was referred to, not the time itself, but the activity that was in the time, that is what is referred to. So basically there were three types of activities that were in that period of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِي وَيُزَكِّيمْ يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ The one activity was da'wat, inviting and exhorting people towards Allah Ta'ala. So the Sahaba Ikram exhorted, and Rasulullah had sent, and all the jihad that had taken place. So all this was exhortation. So the exhortation takes place in different ways. Right? The idea is لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا, to exalt the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jihad was not to force people into Islam. Rather, to see that the word of Allah ta'ala and the word of justice prevails. So, in order for giving justice a chance, right, you need to speak about it, you need to see that people stand to the levels of justice. Then there will be those people that will conform and agree to the rules of justice, and there will be those people that will oppose. Right? So we will tell you, right, you come and you conform on the, you conform to the principles of justice, and we will not interfere with you, you will not interfere with us. But then if you object, then we will tell you, alright, you don't want to accept the rule of justice, you don't want to accept kalima, and you don't want to accept la ilaha illallah, then agree to be an obedient citizen of the Islamic State, so that justice can prevail. Obviously, it's justice is just one rule. You can't say that 10 different constitutions all conform to the rules of justice. Can't say that. Can you say that 10 different constitutions and all are in conformity with justice? Like in this country now, this simple example I want to show you, right? Now you call the affirmative action, right? In the affirmative action, you commit a crime, then you will be seen differently and viewed differently. And if a black commits a crime, then he's viewed differently. So is this justice? You use water, you're getting paid for it. But he uses water, he's not getting paid for it. So where's the justice? So justice will be just one simple, single law. One single law will be justice. Anybody moves away to the left or to the right, then he is not in conformity with justice, right? Or you look at the Western countries, then they live after... they live by robbing and by cheating the poorer countries, right? They will get the poorer countries embroiled in war, right? or somehow they will use their influence. They will use the influence, and they will get Arab countries, etc., tied up under some system, under some problem that will get them tied up, and they will milk them, right? So is that justice? Where in Iraq, you get over 1 million people being killed just for their influence to continue. Then Afghanistan, same thing happens. Then in Syria, same thing happens. So just for that Western influence to continue, they have to kill so many people. They'll kill so many people, and then they'll milk the oil, see? So there isn't a system of justice. So there has to be one system of justice. Islam claims that we have got the perfect code, we have got the perfect law, you conform. Whether you are white, black, etc., all will have to agree and conform with that one law. So if anybody is coming on the path of justice, and you say, you don't accept it, then at least come under the Islamic rule of justice, you come under it. Come under it, we won't interfere with you. But then you become a spoke in the work, you become a spanner in the work, then we will remove you. Then you are like that gangrene that has come and set into the foot, right? The poison that has set into the foot. Now, when that gangrene has set into the foot, what do you do? Then you will first try to treat it. If you can treat it, very good. And treat it, you win in treating it very good, you will save the entire leg. But if you fail in treating it, then what will you do? Then the second level, you will say, now I need to amputate that foot. If you don't amputate that foot, then your whole body will be covered with gangrene and you will die. So in order to secure the rest of the body, that part of the foot will be amputated. So jihad is the same. That in all, rather than the entire humanity rotting, and perishing to destruction, rather than perishing and rotting to destruction, we say, all right, this section of humanity, they are perishing, let's cut them off so that the rest of humanity can survive. First, we will give them an antidote, right? We'll give them an antidote. They succumb very good. But they are not succumbing to that antidote, then we'll use the weapon, right? And we say, we cut this off, so that the rest of humanity can enjoy life. Right? So this is why jihad is instituted. Jihad is not instituted to force Islam upon people. Except it's their luck. They don't accept it, it's their peril and destruction. But the law and the code of justice has to prevail over all. Otherwise, you get a system where you tax to death. Look at the social republics, what they were doing. That every person is treated as a machine. They're treated as a machine, and they will just feed you what, like how the machine is fed, then they will feed you like that. Then the same thing happens to a capitalist state, that they tax you right till death, 40%, 50%, 60%, whatever you earn, then the government becomes a 50% shareholder in all what you possess. Right? All what you own, they become a 50% shareholder in all what you possess. So there's zulm this side, there is zulm this side. Both ways there is zulm. So Islam is the only wahid, that one way that shows you that perfect road and the perfect way of justice. They can't be. A man-made law cannot substitute the law of Allah Ta'ala. I speak about it quite often. That there is no man-made law can substitute and replace the law of Allah Ta'ala. A simple thing is, say, theft, right? You say, no, this is barbaric that you are amputating the man's hand. All right, take it out. Now try and bring about peace amongst mankind, you can't bring it. So when you try to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala, that first you have to burglar guard your home. Then that was not sufficient. Then you need to have a CCTV, a closed circuit TV within your home. Right? That was not also sufficient. Then you need to have a barbed wire around your home, fence around your home, electrocute the whole thing. That was not sufficient, you need to have some Alsatian dogs. That was not sufficient, then you need to have a patrol. That was not sufficient, then you needed to have a police over the patrol. If you had a police over the patrol, then the police themselves, then you need to have a security over the police that they don't steal. Okay? So, you're not winning. You're going this way, you're not winning. That way, you're not winning. There's no way that you'll win. Because they try to replace the law of Allah Ta'ala. You can't replace it. It's the law of Allah Ta'ala, you amputate the hand. and advertise it, televise it throughout the world. See, this man here, he stole, so you're televising, the whole world is seeing. Yeah. Steal now, and your hand is going to be amputated. The whole world is seeing. You set an example on one person, and then, fil qisasi hayatu ya ulil albab. When you are going to bring about the law of Allah Ta'ala, then, if bring about the law of Allah Ta'ala, you are saving life. But, when you try and replace the law of Allah Ta'ala, then innocent people are being killed. Just because of robbery and theft, how many millions and hundreds of people are being killed? How many women are being raped? You're living in the confines of your home, but still you're feeling the fear, right? You are living in fear. Now, in a country where Islamic law is applied, although not full, 30%, 40% Islamic law is being applied, right? The 500s of shops, jewelry shops or whatever the shops, and it is namaz time or it is the lunch break, and it is just one single sheet that is placed over the shop, they go for namaz. 2 hours, 3 hours, they're coming after. And no fear. A woman can leave a hotel room at 1 o'clock in the morning, go into the haram, spend 3 hours there and come back without any fear. All alone she's leaving. Now you tell me, in any Western country, can a woman leave at that time walking on foot? Walk from one mile, 2 miles, can she walk? She can't walk. It's impossible. You can't even fathom that. So there is no substitute for the law of Allah Ta'ala. So in order to bring that justice, that level of justice, you need to bring this law. Right? This is an immutable law. You can't mutilate this law. You can't change it. You can't distort this law. So then I said that everything has to peak, and when it peaks, then it declines. When there's a decline, then that decline signifies now this is the end of time. See, because you're coming, you're peaked, progressed, and then you decline. And you're declining, now this is the end of time. When it's the end of time, you see, the way the world operates is supply and demand, right? Demand and supply. Right? In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the supply was great. The supply was very, very great. So there wasn't that demand. Why? Because there was a tremendous supply. Good everywhere, there's good and good and good, right? And then everything comes to a decline. When it comes to a decline, now there is a demand for it. There's a demand for an honest person. Can you find an honest person easily? Honest, reliable, suitable person. Very easily, can you find? You know, 100% I'll leave this person here and he will look after my place, he will look after my business, he won't cheat, he won't cut corners, he will do it exactly as I want. Can you find a person easily like that? You can't. So there's a decline. Now when there's a decline, so things come in demand. Now you are looking for honesty. Can't find honesty. You're looking for honesty, you can't find honesty. Hence there's a demand. So when there's a demand, so now everything will you can fetch a price for everything, because there's a demand. When there is a demand, so you can fetch a price. The price will go up. It will just escalate. Right? So therefore, before Qiyamah, right, the person that is holding on to deen, because deen is in demand. And when there is deen in demand, so the person that is holding on to deen, then his reward is like 50 Sahaba Kiram. See, it went on a decline. So there's a demand. When there's a demand, so the price goes up. When the price goes up, so now, whatever you're going to do, is going to be in demand. You're going to get it. You're going to get it at a cheap price. You're going to get it. And you're going to get it a tremendous reward. A return will be tremendous. In our terms, it's like a closing down sale. Just imagine now that Ruwaid's supermarket is going down. Maputo is closing it. When you're closing it down, so what you were selling, the jacket that you were selling for 100, what do you say, medical. Now, for one medical also you'll sell it. Won't you sell it? Because you want to close up and you want to move. So what you were selling at 100, now you're selling for 1. So now, it's a closing down. The whole earth, the whole universe is closing down. When it's closing down, so the price will be very cheap, but the reward, the returns are going to be very great. Therefore, the hadith says, "Kalqabizi al-jamal, kalhamsina rajulim minkum." One person who holds on to deen, then he's getting the reward of 50 people. But you hold on firm, because he's in demand now. You can't find that. You can't find that righteousness. You can't find that virtue. You can't find the type of honesty. You can't find the type of sincerity. You can't find the type of dedication. You can't find it. When you can't find it, so now the reward is just going to pick up. So now it's the right time. This is a season. It's the right time for you to exploit the situation. Because the rewards are just multiplying. Like you can't believe. Like you know how you say it's going like mad. It's just going. So the rewards are just going. Like never before. And the rewards are just soaring up. Just going up. Just going up. Just going up. So if a person doesn't exploit the situation now, then he's really mad. The pride was just going. It was just flying. And then you didn't take advantage over the situation. Then you, it's really something wrong with you. A Mercedes normally is going for 500,000 and now it's going for 50,000. And you didn't buy the thing. The Gandachana is mad, isn't it? It's normal price 500,000 and you gave for 50,000, gave for 10,000. What are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be taking advantage over the situation and buy the thing, secure the thing. Now you're not even buying it for that price. So Allah Pak is saying, I'm closing this world now. I'm closing. Anytime it's closing. When it's closing, then you need to take advantage. You go and come and invest. I said, no, Allah Pak, I need to take a rest now, man. You know, I need to go to the Bergs. And then need to go this place and that place, do some shopping in the mall and all that. And, you know, Allah Pak, if I'm not going to support the mall, the mall will close down. Allah Pak is saying that the world is going to close down and you want to keep the mall going on. Allah is going to close the whole thing, shut it down, close the whole thing. He said, no, I want to keep the mall running. Right? Use your brains. Now Allah Pak is shutting the whole thing down. When you shut the whole thing, the mall, everything, burgs, malls, everything is going to go. Malls, dolls, balls, everything is going to go. Right? So now, you just think that where this world is going, the world is coming to an end. Bu'istu ana wa sa'atu kahatain. So it's so close. Everything is just going. And Allah is selling it for a song, he's giving it to you. When he's giving it to you for a song, then if you don't take advantage really, then something wrong with you. But there will be a little bit of a test also. Because now you're going to get it at a very cheap price, you're going to get it. But there will be a lot of hurdles on the way. Lots and lots and lots of hurdles on the way. You want to do the thing, but now you've got so much of hurdles and so much of obstructions on the way you've got. You want to do the right thing. Before, just a simple illustration, you know, I'll show you an illustration. All this thing, what I'm talking about, all is coming from the hadith. Not a single thing that I'm speaking is not from the hadith. But I'm just giving it to you in your own language. Simplified language, I'm giving it to you. Right? Now let me just show you that now the righteousness is becoming so difficult, right? Before, money was tight, right? So to do any haram was difficult. Money was very, very tight. So to do a haram was difficult. Someone wanted a loose girl, right? So that time he couldn't buy her for loose. Because it was difficult that time. Money was tight. Those girls were all were stashed away. You couldn't get anything, right? Right, and now it's so easy. You got your cell phone, you just press a button and you put something in someone's account, and all the burfi and the sutafani are always coming to your door. It's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy. Before it was it so easy? It wasn't easy at all. Now it's so easy. Just at the press of a button, and there it's at your door, knocking at your door. So it's so easy. So what I'm getting at is, though there is that opportunity of doing that right, but that opportunity for doing that right is with a little bit of difficulty. So now when you in this quagmire, you know, in this whole kachumar you are, then what is the way out of this whole kachumar? What is the way out of this entire kachumar? Now you're going anywhere, and there is a trial. You're going to university, there's a trial. There's drugs there, there's women there, right? There's Satanism there, and there's lesbians also there. Wherever you're going, you'll find all the same kachara you'll find. Before you said there was kachara only in the garbage. So now you'll find it everywhere. University, you'll get it. The school, you'll find it. In the malls, you'll find it. Everywhere, you'll find the same kachara. You'll find this dirt. But now, when that garbage is gone and it's become so rampant, it becomes so common everywhere, it's flying everywhere, then how do you save yourself? How do you secure yourself? How do you take care of yourself? Because everywhere you're going, and you're finding this filth, you're finding this dirt. No matter where you go, but you must find that filth, you must find that dirt. So how will you secure yourself? Because you're going right, you're finding filth. You're going left, you're finding filth. You're going straight, you're finding filth. Before they would tell you, now look down, that you won't see anything. And you look down also, you still see ground. Someone say, no, look on top, so you won't find it. Now you're looking on top and you're seeing something. You're looking up and you're finding problems. You're looking down and you're finding problems. To the right, there's problems. To the left, there's problems. Then what do you do? So then the only logical solution, is you must create a haven of security for yourself. You'll have to do it. Because you can't now, you can't be like a South African. South African nature is, you cry for pity, what? Cry for sympathy, you know, bichara, what happened, what can I do? So you don't cry for sympathy, but you look, you be positive, be constructive, and look for a safe haven. Rather than crying for pity and crying for sympathy, crying for people to sympathize for your plight, you look for a safe haven. In all this, I can see now there's a whole big tumor carrying on, and I'm not going to get safe. If I'm going here, then there's problems. I'm going that side, there's problems. I'm going straight, there's problems. Behind, there's problems. Everywhere, there's problems. Then I need to create a safe haven for myself. Right? I need to live in this world, and I need to continue until I die, but I need to create some type of a safety haven. So then what is the safety haven? So the hadith says that the safety haven requires you to do three things. Then you stay in your home. Don't move out of the home unnecessarily. The moment you're going to step out of your home, you have exposed yourself to danger. Nobody is saying to get out of the home is haram. But then you have to be very vigilant, very, very careful. Nobody says that for you to go to Malawi is haram. But then you have to take care of all the malaria and everything else. That female mosquito that is so poisoned, it's like death, you know. You're going there and then you will have to take all the necessary precautions. You'll have to take that precaution. Nobody says that to treat that AIDS patient is haram. But in order to treat him, that you have to take so much of medication and everything else, that if you ever get into contact with that person's blood and you had it, finish. So you don't think it's haram. But if you want to go that way, then you have to take so many levels of precaution. So now, if you're going to leave your home, then you're going to need to take so many levels of precaution. So many levels of precaution you'll have to take. Okay? You're going for a holiday somewhere, and so many levels of precaution. You're not inviting the wrong is inviting you. You're not flirting with the wrong, and the wrong is flirting with you. They're inviting you. They are inciting you. They are enticing you. You're not going there, but they're enticing you. You look in your phone and all, I'm available. I got some free time. You got some free time. You know, can't we have lunch together? Don't you see all these things in your phone? I ask you, don't you see these things? All these things come up in the phone. Again, now you're looking at your account, how much is in my account, and suddenly that thing's picture comes and says, I'm available at this time, whatever. We need some good time. So all these things coming up now. Now, how much should you resist? So what the hadith says, then don't go, don't get out of your home. You're pressing on to that button, then you have come out of your home into danger, into the area of danger. So rather don't have this home, because when it comes, then for you to resist is very difficult. Imagine the person, she put her picture there, and she's dressed for the kill, and she's inviting you. And then for you to resist, is it easy? It's very difficult, very, very tempting. You've got the car, you've got time, and she's given you her address and everything else. And then for you to resist all these things is very difficult, very, very difficult. So the simple thing is don't buy that phone then. Don't buy that phone. You're going to buy that phone, you're going to be tempted. Or you have to have a phone, then just the basic feature, only phoning, nothing else. Not even SMS. Try and block off the SMS also, just only phoning. And then on that phone, keep a monitor that your wife can check up, where you've been the whole day, what you've been doing. You've got no other secret phone, no phone with any lock. You can lock up any other phone. Everything is absolutely transparent. So that Kala can see now what Kala you are playing. She can also see, right, what you are doing, right? So you have kept certain checks and balances for yourself. You have kept certain checks and balances. Otherwise, don't go in that path. I can't live without it. I can't do that. I'll go with a little bit of difficulty. I don't know what's going on in the world. I'm not updated, right? So it's all right. I don't know what's going on in Syria or in Egypt, but I'm making dua for everybody. I'm listening to the masjid boards and all this. There's some fight not carrying on, so I'm making dua for them, carrying on. So more or less you know what's going on, but you don't know the details. You don't know the details. All right. You rather remain a little bit backwards than going forwards into trouble. Someone told Mufsa Rahmatullahi, you know, but you can't be so narrow-sighted, you know. Tang nazar. Can't be tang nazar. Narrow. So Mufsa Rahmatullahi says that tang nazri ke saath, agar bad nazri se bach jaye, to ghanimat hai. You're narrow-sighted, but in the narrow-sightedness, if your eyes are blocked off from haram, then really it's an achievement. Isn't it an achievement? You're narrow-sighted. You're not going to this, you're not going to very narrow. Your sight is very, very limited and restricted. Right? You're not looking at things and all that. But in that restriction, if you are saved from all haram, then really, isn't it an achievement? It's an achievement. It's a blessing. The world may say whatever they want to say, but in all that narrow-sightedness, you've been blocked off from haram. Now, all we are sitting here, right? Now, you think to yourself, in all your broad-sightedness, how many slips you made? Think, every person think to himself, in your broad-sightedness, how many slips you made? From the time that you know yourself, 13, 14, till now, you want to go and explore and broad-sighted, and how many harams, how many slips you made? If the whole clock was reversed, would you prefer being narrow-sighted or broad-sighted? Obviously, you want to be narrow-sighted. Because so much of haram you have done, now you realize, hey, this thing, I did this, and I did this, I saw this, and I went here, I experimented with this, I experimented with that. I can't reverse the clock. Now it's too late. So, the hadith is advising you to do three things. One is don't get out of your house. The other is don't meet and associate unnecessarily. It's just a restricted group of people. You 100% that they will only encourage you to the right. It's impossible for them to take you to the wrong. Just that group of people. Otherwise, you know, mix up with so many people, everybody's got his own agenda. He's got a different agenda. He's got a different agenda. Each one has got his own way. And I'll move that lane, and for me then to reverse from that lane will be difficult. So I don't want to experiment, get there and then to want to reverse. See? Today, one guest was, one Mehman was here. He was explaining. Sometimes it's the grace of Allah Ta'ala that brings you back, but that's not always. See, there was a radio program that one person in the pre-apartheid time, you know, from Shepstead, prominent family, and he got into this ANC thing, whatever else, and then he had to go and live in exile, London. So while staying in London, because he was too deep in politics, and then he got involved in different types of people. So the whole family were baptized into Christianity. Like you heard, some years ago, 2-3 years ago, some prominent Muslim in Stanger, and then he went out of Islam. Right? He went out of Islam, and then he died as a non-Muslim, and his body was thereafter. Kya kehte hai jalane ko? Cremated. What? cremated. His body was cremated. Muslim now, Muslim name and Muslim surname and everything, and the body was cremated. Right? So what a disgrace, what an insult, what an embarrassment for the entire family, in fact, for the whole town. Prominent Muslim and his whole body is cremated. Right? Isn't it an insult? Isn't it a disgrace? It's a disgrace. But you went in that way, so you, when you go into a way, you go into a certain lane, that it comes with all its frills. You go into something that goes, like you say, no, I'm going to the mall, I'm just going to buy something. But you're going there, it comes with all the package. Then you have to listen to the music, then you have to speak to those aunties, the auntie will speak to you, how are you? And you say, how I am, how are you? And everything will happen, right? So you can't say that you go inside that mall and the haram won't take place. It must take place. It's a sabat al-shay, sabat al-bilawazim. Everything goes together with it. So now this person, yeah, he went to London, all right, he went to exile, his whole family got baptized. So there was a program on the radio, he was explaining the whole thing to me. But he was lucky enough that he wanted to retrace his whole family. So the whole family was baptized into Christianity. And he came back to Shepston, came to know that now we are Muslims and all that. Now he's 100% Muslim, alhamdulillah. But that's just a luck. He was fortunate enough that Allah Ta'ala brought him back. Otherwise, that means gone. So you go experiment with these things here, yeah? And then you go, and you go for a ride. So you can't go and experiment when you're not capable enough. You know? Like people want to go into comparative religion and all that. You go into comparative religion when your Islam is strong. You're absolutely strong, you're solid, and you're absolutely rooted well. Then you go and study other things, all right. But your Islam is not strong enough, and you're going to experiment with other things. So you're going to be doubting about your own Islam. So this is the first thing that the hadith says, that you just keep to yourself. Keep to your home. Don't go and experiment. Don't go around everywhere. You keep to yourself. I mean, Nabi Sassam, when he advised this, right, that he knew better than me and you. Because, you know, yeah, Nabi Allah, you know what, I am exempt from this. I can manage all this. You can't say that. He said, well, yasa'ka baytuk, must finish. Just cut the story off. Then I can't say, no, but I, you know, ya Rasulullah, you know me, I'll take a lot of precaution. I'll be safe. When he made a general statement, then it applies to all of us. All of us will say, no, we have to go this way. We have to go this way, yeah, because the Muslim said this. You don't stand a chance now. You know, it's like a tsunami. You don't take anybody coming there, and it's going to sweep you off. You can't stand it. You can't resist. It's a tsunami now. It's coming with such vigor. It's so violent, you know, it's so violent. So vicious that it will just sweep you off. It's vicious. It's not going to see now, a kurta wala hai, dari wala hai. It's going to wipe you off. So this haram that's coming, those women and haram and all that's coming, they're not going to see now, yeah, this is a kurta wala and topi wala and all that. They will say anything coming in our way. So long as, you know, we can get something good out of him, let's take it. So the tsunami, that flood that is coming is vicious. Really very, very, very vicious. So here the hadith is saying, you just stay to yourself. Keep at home. Many a people, you find that when that money was less, and free time was less, and they were active, then they weren't involved in any haram. But as the money opened out, and they got more free time available, then they got involved in haram. Before, they didn't have these avenues. Money was tight. And the moment the thing got opened up, they fell into haram. So this is the first thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking us to do, just keep in your home. Don't move out of the home. Second thing he's saying is, Amlik alayka lisanak. Then you control your tongue. And when you say tongue, Al-qalamu ahadul lisanin. Like, this is one tongue, then this is also a tongue. You know, this SMS, all that, that's another tongue. Because it's a way to communicate. Tongue is to communicate. This is also communicating. So like this is a communication system, this is also a communicating system. Whether you're writing SMS, email, whatever, that's also a communicating system. Now if you get caught into this, then for you to get out of it is very difficult. I know sometimes back one person was explaining me, he's got a problem, marital problem, right? So he says, monthly he gives his wife approximately 20,000 rands. Monthly, he gives his wife 20,000 rands, right? Plus, he brought her a brand new motor car. Brand new motor car he bought her. all the groceries, everything I buy for, everything, whatever she wants. $20 just for sweets, nothing else. Everything, the last thing that she wants, I buy clothing, everything I buy for her, petrol I give her, and then over and above that I give her 20,000 rands. The whole month of Ramadan passed, only one day she prepared some aleem, and that aleem was also iced. She just heated it in the micro and gave it to me. Can you live like that? Can you live like that, I ask you? Whole month of Ramadan, she's giving her so much, all that he's spending upon her. But I asked him, then how does she spend the day? I just asked out of curiosity, that only that fridged aleem she just put into the micro and gave it to you. The whole day was she doing that. Because it makes you wonder now, how she's spending the whole day from the morning right till the end, right, I don't know what time. But she's busy with the email. SMS, email, this person, that person, aki dunya, puri dunya, ki khabar leti hai. See? So when you get caught into this, then to reverse yourself out of this is not an easy thing at all. So, amlik ali kalisan, second thing, take care of your tongue. In other words, the ways to communicate, the ways to communicate, one is to you remain within yourself, then don't communicate. Because you're going to start communicating, there's so many avenues to communicate, so many people to communicate, so many things to talk about, that your whole day and night will pass, and your communicating will not finish. Our Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that in a madrasa, there's about five levels. See, the most difficult work is the mufti's work. Because he doesn't only have to look at the kitab, he has to look at contemporary situations, how people understand, how they reason, how they apply themselves. Look at all that, look at the person that is asking and thereafter answer him. So many things you have to look at and then you can only answer. So that's the most complicated and difficult work. The second work after that is then of a teacher, right? Because the teacher, he has to prepare himself before he can deliver the lesson following day. If he doesn't prepare himself the previous night, then he can't deliver. He can't deliver. He must prepare himself. Whatever he's teaching is to prepare it. Then the third most difficult work is, after the teacher's work, the third work is not so difficult, but it's also a little bit difficult. But that is now giving bayans. What? Giving bayans. Because for the year, if you prepare about 25 bayans, you can rotate it right through. For 2 years, perhaps, you can carry on. 25 bayans. Because you'll be called up, right? Today, Tongat, and tomorrow, Mshlanga. The same bayan, you can just rotate the bayan. Same one bayan you've learned, just rotate it, evolve it here, there, everywhere. But 25 bayans for 2 years is enough. Right? So that's the third most difficult thing. The fourth thing is, you know, for all these three classes, you need to be talented. You need to be talented. To be a mufti, talented. Teacher, talented. Bayans, you need to talent. The fourth, you need to be untalented. You need to have no talent. Then you can score and you can gain victory there. How? Qari Tayyib Sahib used to say, Ahmadullah Ali, for that fourth level, is just to raise objections. Anything, everything, you must find some objection. So to raise an objection, do you need to have any talent? No talent you need. But why? He said, no, you know, put 2 teaspoons of sugar. I said, why? Why can't I put 1 spoon? Stir it up like this. You know, why can't I stir it the other way? So you need to be untalented. He says, you need to be untalented. You don't need to have a talent. For everything else, you need a talent. And here, to raise objections, ishkal karna, you need to be untalented. So this talking is the easiest thing. Easiest thing. You don't pay any money. No money. So that is why this communication thing, the Bism is just put a brake onto that. It says, Amlik Ali Kalisanak. Just control your tongue. You don't talk. You be in control of the tongue. Let not the tongue control you. You be in control of the tongue. See? When I think about the tongue, then I think about this old, this This VW, you know, VW, the engine used to be in the back. Remember? I don't know now, but the old Beetle, the engine used to be in the back. So you think first, then you look forward. You don't move and then start thinking. Today, you know, the engine is in the front. Now you move and then you start thinking. So you first think and then you move. See? So that is the second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you, that first you think, then you... The second thing. And the third, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. So now you kept to yourself, your communications you restricted. So now what you should be doing, don't worry too much about the whole world. Because there are those people that you start talking about the world and all that, if they have no ideas now, they got ideas. You talk about an agency, so they didn't have any idea. Up to now their mind was blank. So when you start talking about an agency, oh, there is something like this as well. I can also go and experiment. But before that, his mind was totally blank. When his mind was totally blank, then he didn't want to go into these type of things. When he spoke about it, he said, no, let me go and experiment the thing. See, when Allah Ta'ala, he wrote that kitab, Islah Rusum. In India, there's a lot of bidats, you know. They have 40 days, 3 days, and all that urus and gyarvi sharif and whatever else they should have. So he wrote a kitab in refutation of all these things here. So one person complimented him, lucky you write this kitab here, you know. Now you wrote this kitab here. We didn't know how to do all this urus and all that. Now you showed us step by step how to do it. Because he was refuting it, that this is the wrong. So now we understood how to do it step by step. So you get that class of people. Right? You get that class of people. So now, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. So when you're going to be to yourself, and you're going to be in control of your tongue, then what you must do? Then don't look at information and all that. Don't look at all that. Then look at your own self. Look at your own weaknesses and cry over your own sins. But from the age of 13, 14, what wrong I did. 15, what wrong I did. In the darkness of the night, what did I do? When I was in the shop, what did I do? And in those quiet moments, what I did. And in that cinema hall, what did I do? And there, I had a chance here, what did I do? So think of all these things and cry over your sins. Cry over your sins and ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So this is the 3-point plan Nabi Sam is showing us. If you follow this 3-point plan, then you'll be saved against all these challenges. So these challenges are very heavy. Don't think that you'll be able to stand before those challenges. Don't think like that. That's stupidity. Nabi Sam is saying, no, you don't experiment. He already warned us that the Dajjal will come out. When he comes out, you're not going to be able to stand before him. So you just move away. فَلْيَنَا عَنْهُ. Move away from him. Don't think now, no, hey, we have to stand to all the challenges. Don't think like that. فَلْيَنَا. You must just stay away. So the same with all these fitnas, you can't stand withstand these fitnas. There'll be one in a billion person who can withstand it. Some great, very, very great buzruk now. He can withstand it. He's a different person. But everybody cannot go and compare himself against that one buzurg. Like the Dajjal, one person from a billion persons, he'll say, I can withstand him. And he will finish with the Dajjal, right? But one from a billion. Now everybody begins to compare himself against that buzurg. Is that right? Is the reasoning right? The reasoning not right. One person can do it. Everybody can't do it. Like we were in Madras, and there was one unidentified luggage there. So they cleared the whole crowd, or they pushed us one side. Now, they came with one suit. So, you see one plain clothed person, and they put that suit. Now, he looks like a real astronaut, you know. He's walking also. So, think Jazz has got that two people have to put him, to make him wear that whole astronaut suit. And he's walking also, he's walking slowly. Got a stick, now he's trying to fidget with that thing, scanning that thing, any bomb inside and all that. See? He's so scared about it. His life is going. So he's scared about it. So you don't know when that thing can explode. So the same with this fitna, you don't know when that thing can explode. For that physical thing, so much of precaution. And for all I care, someone must have deliberately left that book, left that baggage there, just to see the old bicycle. He must have left it there deliberately. And then you'll see that all these clouds will come in, perform there. They wanted to see the whole performance, so he did that with baggage and he went away. Now they had to clear the place, they got so many soldiers there, all with guns and all that, got one dog there, moving up and down. So for your physical security, so much of precautionary measures. For your physical security, so many security measures. Then for your spiritual, how much of security measures you need to have. And remember sometimes that one germ gets into you. It's not so easy to pull that germ out. You know, you got into the rut of some guna. Whether it's a drug, whether it's a girl, whether it's whatever. Right? Now it's a germ is into you. Now you think it's easy to pull the germ out. It's very difficult, very difficult. So you can't experiment with these things. It's not a thing you're going to experiment. It will take you years sometimes to reverse that thing. It will take you zamanas to get the thing whole out, the thing out. You can't just take it out straight away. So the 3-point plan of Nabi Sallam is the best. There you won't fail, but you just hold to it firmly. Let the world say what they want to say. It's your life, it's your iman, your qabr. Your qabr, the next person is not going to come and save you in your qabr. Is he going to come and save you? Is he going to take care for you in the qabr? Before Allah Ta'ala, is he going to take care for you? So you don't worry about the next friend or whoever. You think to yourself, it's my qabr, I would have to face the music there. Nobody's going to come and stand there for me. So if I'm going to stand there and I have to face the music there, then nobody's going to stand for me. Then I need to be diligent. I need to be intelligent. I need to be taking all the security that even my own son can't come and take care of me there. So then no matter who says what, I need to look after my qabr. I don't want my qabr to be a wreck here. I don't want to be a distraction for me. So no matter who says what, but my qabr, I need to have a safe passage in my qabr. So this plan that Nabi Sallam has given, that's the safest plan. Safest plan, you just keep to yourself. That's few people that are thinking in one line. Although they are backward in their thinking, but they're thinking in one line. And they seem to be safe. They're not talking about all these other issues. Let me just be sticking around them. No matter how backward they may seem to be, no matter how backward they may be, no matter what they are doing, but they don't experiment with any wrong. Let me just be with them. So at least your journey through the qabr is easy. Your journey to the hereafter is easy. You got no problems, no hurdles on your journey, no way, no problems in your way. But now you're going to experiment with these things here, and then for you to pull that germ out, I say it's like impossible. Ask anybody that went into drugs, and for him to come out of it, you think it's easy. It's very difficult. They come out of it 6 months, and there's a relapse. 6 months you take out, you come out of it again, you send the person to the rehab, came out of it, and there's a relapse again. Very, very seldom. I think 1 in 100 you may find who came out of the thing completely. Otherwise, he is attracted to it. There's a relapse always. So don't experiment in this. In these gunas, don't experiment. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. Muhammad.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد أنت أهل الثناء والكبرياء والمجد أحق ما قال العبد وكلنا لك عبد لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام ونجنا من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبنا الفواحش والفتن وجنبنا الفواحش والفتن وجنبنا الفواحش والفتن وبارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأحبابنا ولأقاربنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها أولها وآخرها علانيتها وسرها اللهم إنا نتوب إليك من المعاصي كلها لا نرجع إليها أبدا اللهم إنا نتوب إليك من المعاصي كلها لا نرجع إليها أبدا اللهم إنا نتوب إليك من المعاصي كلها لا نرجع إليها أبدا يا الله you forgive our sins يا الله يا الله you forgive every sin of ours يا الله يا الله those sins that we have committed in the darkness of the night and in the brightness of the day يا الله those sins that we have committed in public and those sins that we have committed in privacy يا الله those sins that we have committed with our eyes with our tongues, with our ears, with our hands, with our minds, with our legs. Ya Allah, every sin that we have committed, Ya Allah, you forgive every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many sins that we don't even regard as sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive those sins as well. Ya Allah, there are so many sins that we just did it without even giving it a second thought. Ya Allah, you forgive those sins of ours. Ya Allah, there are so many sins, Ya Allah, that we have committed. Ya Allah, all those sins that we have committed, Ya Allah, we have used all those favors that you have given us. Ya Allah, we use those eyes that you have given us to look at those things that you have made haram. Ya Allah, we use that eyes that you those ears that you have given us to listen to that which is haram. Ya Allah, every power and every ability that we use at the time of sinning is from you. Ya Allah, we are so ungrateful, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so ungrateful that those same favors that you have given us, we use it against you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive every sin of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah, in this 10 days of forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are begging you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive our relatives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive all those people that who have asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, you forgive the entire ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the youth of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the men of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the women of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have gone so far away from you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have sunk into such type of immodesty and shameless behavior, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the ummah has gone so far, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, in this Mubarak days, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this days of forgiveness, Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive the entire ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring us back to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, the ummah is suffering all over the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Syria they are suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Egypt, in Palestine, Ya Allah, all over the world the ummah is suffering. Ya Allah, let the ummah realize, Ya Allah, that the only salvation lies in turning back to you, Ya Allah. Allahumma ruddana wa ruddal muslimina ila deenika raddan jameela. Allahumma ruddana wa ruddal muslimina ila deenika raddan jameela. Ya Allah, you bring us back to your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you let us realize that there's only one door, Ya Allah, and that is your door, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you let us come back to your door, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the fitnas are so severe and so vicious, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save us from all the fitnas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save our progenies from the fitna, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save the entire ummah from the fitna, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this fitna is so great, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it's only you that you can protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us don't allow us to experiment with this fitna, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you save us, Ya Allah, and save the entire ummah from all these fitnas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our hearts, Ya Allah, that you have given us, Ya Allah, only for you, Ya Allah. We have put all type of filth in that heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow us to purify this heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow us to remove every filth from that heart, Ya Allah. Every haram temptation, Ya Allah. Every haram desire, Ya Allah, you allow us to remove it from our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Allahumma rzuqna quluban taqiyya min ash-sharri naqiyya. Allahumma rzuqna quluban taqiyya min ash-sharri naqiyya. taqiyya, la jafiyan wala shaqiyya. Ya Allah, let our hearts be only for you, Ya Allah. Let it be purified from every type of filth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there's so many filthy, haram types of qualities that we have, Ya Allah. Hasad, bughz, adawat, takabbur, hubbe jah, hubbe mal, Ya Allah. All these different types of filthy qualities that we have, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make it easy for us to remove and purify our hearts from all these filthy types of qualities. Ya Allah, and you bless us with all the good qualities, Ya Allah. Bless us with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. You bless us with your love, Ya Allah. You bless us with the love of your Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us close attachment to you, Ya Allah. إليك ربي فحببني وفي نفسي لك ربي فذللني وفي أعين الناس فعظمني ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبني. اللهم ارزقنا حبك, اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ya Allah, you bless us with your pure love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our hearts are so filthy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't deserve that love of yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but you bless us with that love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you purify our hearts, Ya Allah, and make it worthy of containing your love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let that day come when we can also say, Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Ya Allah, you bless us with your love, Ya Allah. You bless us with your pure love, Ya Allah. You bless us with your recognition and your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you allow us to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you bless us with ilm nubuwat, with nur nubuwat, with fikr nubuwat. And Ya Allah, let us understand the mansha of nubuwat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us firm on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, firm on the way of our akabir, Ya Allah. Don't let us leave their way in the least, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep us firm on their way, Ya Allah. You keep us on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you bless us with the love of the pious, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with the love of the pious, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those pious people, Ya Allah, the great luminaries of this ummah, Ya Allah, that have imparted deen to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Imma, Ya Allah, and all the great Mufassireen, Fuqaha, Muhaddithin of this Ummah, Ya Allah, and all those people that contributed in deen coming to us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them jazai khair, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them jazai khair, Ya Allah. You make them maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wa asatiza, Ya Allah, wa mashayikh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless all of them, Ya Allah. Those of them that are living, Ya Allah, you grant them long life with izzat and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow us to benefit from them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow us to benefit from them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with your love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with the love of these pious people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you engage us in your zikr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the sweetness of zikr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the sweetness of tilawat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever little ibadat we are trying to make in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept the ibadat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the strength to continue, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the strength to continue in your ibadat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and you accept this ibadat of ours. Ya Allah, all those people that have asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah, you fulfill all the jaiz murads, Ya Allah. And all the desires that they have, Ya Allah, you fulfill it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever work of deen is taking place, Ya Allah, wherever it may be, Ya Allah, which is in keeping with your pleasure and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, you accept that work, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the madaris that are running, Ya Allah, the khanqas that are running, Ya Allah, the jamaat that are out in your path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept everyone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept everyone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept us for the khidmat of your deen. Ya Allah, we don't deserve to serve your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you don't need us, Ya Allah, but we need your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you accept us to serve your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, right till our last day, Ya Allah, you keep us in the service of your deen. Ya Allah, you keep our progenies in the service of your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow us to do this, the khidmat of deen, with ikhlas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with sincerity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't even know what sincerity is, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with ikhlas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and you accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you allow us to do it in a way which is pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to do the service of your deen in a way which is pleasing to you and the way of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us whose parents are living, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to be the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. Allow us to serve them and be the coolness of their eyes. And those whose parents have passed away, Ya Allah, you make them maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them the highest stages in Jannah, Ya Allah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.